Today we're going to think about the Psalm 17. I wish to read a selection of verses from this psalm, verses that will be the theme of our consideration. A prayer of David. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvellous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. We'll end our reading there at the verse 15. This particular psalm is entitled A Prayer of David. It is apparent from our reading of this poem that the psalmist is appealing to God in a time of attack and struggle. He makes reference to these men of the world, which have their portion in this life. These men of the world were oppressing him. They were rising up against him. They were speaking proud things against him. Therefore, David, in this time of oppression, lifts his eyes heavenward and begins to pray. Above all other things, he prays for vindication. Therefore, he begins, Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear to my prayer. This is essentially what this psalm is, a prayer to God for help in a time when the men of the world were like fierce lions, ready to spring upon him as their prey. But here was a man who could fight back with a quiet confidence in his God. There is no greater blessing in this life than to be able to pray. Yet, while all men and women may go through the formula of prayer, not all can pray. Only those who have entered a saving personal relationship with God are able to pray. You may employ the words, Our Father which art in heaven. But is God truly your Father? Have you trusted his Son as your personal Saviour? Have you renounced your sin and have you come to Christ, who alone is the rest of the soul? It is only then that you can truly pray. Those who have learned the value and virtue of prayer have also learned to rest in God quietly as David was able so to do. What does it mean to have a quiet confidence in God? There are two verses here which teach us what goes on in the heart of a man or of a woman who knows what it is to truly and absolutely trust God. In verse 8, David expresses his hope for today. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. In the 18th verse, he expresses his hope for tomorrow. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Whatever you suffer today, whatever the darkness that envelops your life, whatever is the cause of your tears and your anxiety, there is hope for those who trust and know God. There is hope both for today and for tomorrow. Let us think about the hope for today. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Here we have two metaphors which describe God's care and love for his people. The apple of the eye is the most tender part of the anatomy. We are always conscious that the tiniest particle has the potential to cause so much danger to the eye that we may lose our sight. Sight is a sense which in many ways is above and beyond every other faculty. It is the gift that we dread losing more than any. Therefore, the apple of the eye, that most delicate part of our nature, must be protected and cared for. In a similar way, God protects his children. We are a tender and weak race, susceptible to many dangers and depressions. Yet there is a heavenly Father who encompasses us with his mercies. He cherishes his people as the apple of his eye. It is a wonder that he should regard lost sinners with this kind of favour. Yet he does so, and therefore he promises that all things will work together for good to those that love him. Furthermore, David sees the tenderness of God towards him as being akin to the attention with which A mother bird gives her young, as she covers them with her wings. Underneath the feathers of mother, there is warmth and protection from predators. While David knew that there were those who preyed upon him as fierce lions, he was also aware that constantly God was covering him with his wings. Being a Christian does not remove every trouble, but it does give us a place of calm assurance in the midst of the storm. As the chickens are cared for by a loving mother, so God looks upon his people as his own young, because we are most certainly his children. He guards and watches over his people with paternal concern. This removes every fear and anxiety that we may have in this world. David had also great hope for tomorrow. At the close of the psalm, he anticipates beholding God's face in righteousness. He wanted God to act as the righteous judge in the matter that perturbed him. He had assurance that he would stand before the great judge and see his face in righteousness. He would be found innocent on that day. This is the great hope of the Christian. We live in a wicked world, yet we know that when we stand before God, we will be found innocent of all sin. How can this be? Are we not all sinners? Yes, we are. All have sinned and all deserve the wrath of God. But when we trust Christ, his righteousness becomes ours. We can view him in righteousness. It was Charles Wesley who wrote the words, "Vile and full of sin I am, thou art full of truth and grace." By the grace of God alone, undeserving sinners can behold the judge of all the earth in righteousness. Are you anticipating this, dear listeners? Have you trusted Christ for his righteousness? Furthermore, in relation to this hope, David writes, "I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." This is surely one of the high points of the book of Psalms. This ancient king, writing in the misty periods of days long ago, knew that there would be a resurrection. When his body would arise, it would do so in the likeness of God. What did he mean by this? I would suggest that a suitable commentary on these words is found in the writings of St. John. "Beloved," St. John wrote in 1 John 3, verse 2, "now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." One day we shall receive a body that will be sinless. And because it will be sinless, it will be free from age, from worry, from depression, from disease, and from all the other marks of the curse which inflicts this planet. This verse takes us out of this troublesome world into the world that is to come. It teaches us that there is glory and rest for the children of God, that God not only protects us in this life, but that he provides a most wonderful home in the life that is to come. Is Jesus the rest of your heart? Are you trusting and hoping in him? Because without him there's nothing for us in this world, and there will certainly be nothing for us in the world to come. Therefore, renounce your sin, renounce your own righteousness, and come to Christ for rest, the one who died for you, the one who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come and seek him today. I thank you for listening.